And welcome to the Women's Zone, our year on FMR. My name is Theresa Smith and I will be your host for the next hour. Sit back and relax while I introduce you to some of Cape Town's interesting women on this Women's Day in South Africa. This hour is presented in association with Women's Zone, which is an associate company of Artscape. We are centered on storytelling and bringing the women of Cape Town together. We are based at the Women's Zone Library here at Artscape, which is next to the box office. We do book club, we do book launches, we do workshops, and we provide a safe space for discussion. FMR studios are at the Artscape Theatre, and it's a hive of activity today. There's performances, there's art installations, there's even a crafting stitch-along. And the day started with a Humanity Arts Festival walk from the District 6 Museum, and now there's like a really a lot of people around here. This month, Artscape Theatre celebrates Women's Month and is asking people to step up for change. Okay, so first up, we are talking to Artscape CEO, Marlene Leroux. Hello, Marlene, and welcome to the Women's Zone Hour at FMR.
Thank you, Annette. I'm so grateful that this is today, the 9th of August, and we as a country are looking on this particular day. Introspection, retrospection, where are we in particular when we talk about humanity in its totality?
Today's a really busy day at Artscape Theatre Centre, so let's just dive right in. Everyone's come back to Artscape after the walk, but the thing we really want to know about is what is the Step Up for Change pledge initiative that people are talking about?
I think important is that we're also 30 years in our country's democracy, and we also have a new government of unity. And we at Artscape, we can say for 17th year, this is our 17th year for our Women's Humanity Arts Festival. And it is, today was also our Humanity Walk, which we have started actually 17 years.
Wow.
So that the walk symbolically is about let's walk in each other's shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at each other's celebrating women and also looking at children, but also to look at the challenges, especially that we need to look at that this pandemic is still going on a daily basis. And this is gender-based violence. And we've decided once again that our theme for this year is to be step up for change against gender-based violence, which is so important for everybody in South Africa. And on the 24th of May this year, the President Cyril Ramaphosa signed the National Council on Gender-Based Violence. And we're saying out to ourselves as the committee, as the arts community, as Women's Zone, what can we do more that it's not just staying a bill, that it's not just a policy? How do we actively, as civil society, communities, a building like Artscape, where we say that we are really looking at the values of humanity, the values of respect, the value that we come together and understand each other's challenges. And we say to ourselves, the pledge should be where we have an action that we as citizens can come, because it's on the dawn of our new GNU, that we can say that this hashtag Step Up for Change pledge is to increase our efforts of teaching, especially for our society and for ourselves, myself, and to say, what do I want to see changes and not just policies? Come and write on these pledge forms at Artscape in the foyers all over, and it will be here for the rest of the year. Come and sign your name. Be part of this activity. State also what changes would you like to see government must be implementing in our communities, in our schools, in our society, in our households, in our parenting. How can we look at really changing that this really pandemic gender-based violence needs to start to change, because it's a mindset that needs to change. It's the respect towards women that needs to change. It's to say, how do we raise our young boys and our young girls? How do we need to look at government leaders, our new ministers? What they say and what they do must really be exemplary, so that we can say on a leadership basis that we are role modeling the change and our policies.
Okay, so it's about be part of the change. What do you want to see? Tell us, what do you want to see?
What do you want to see? And that is the most important things that we would like to say to our listeners, to everybody. Come today on the 9th of August, but for the entire year, because the pledge boards will be all over at Artscape being displayed. And it's important, and in December, with our 16 days of activism, we want to hand this over to our leaders by saying, the people have spoken. Here are their words. Here are their suggestions. Come, we put it that we can make it actively implementable and be the change in the Western Cape, in South Africa. But it is about being the change. So we believe that the 30 years of democracy, when so many women and children are still prevented from freely and fairly exercising their right to democracy, freedom, equality, and above all, humanity, it should change. And hence, we said, our particular campaign is hashtag Step Up for Change and come sign the pledge. Come say your say. Be active and not sit on the fence and say, this has happened once again. Let you be the change.
Okay. So now, for the rest of the month, what else is happening at Artscape Theatre that could help people understand what actually is this gender-based violence thing? What does it mean to people?
I think important is come and visit our gender-based violence installation. She Had a Name 365. And just to see over these years how women has been killed by their loved ones. And it is actually horrific to see. And what changes can we make? We're now done with our wonderful walk, and it's a walk for humanity. We have Ballroom Boy, that is at 1 o'clock in Arena, and it speaks specifically about our communities, what is happening in our communities, especially gang rape, especially how mothers must deal in particular with the scourge that is happening in our communities. We have the Battered Housewives Club at 2:30, Dance of the Lagumas, where we looking at the lives of the Lagumas in exiles and also what they have done for our, so that we can have a new South Africa. But we also, our icon for this year is Blanche Laguma. So her life story is also being told in this particular play. And then we have Ab Fab, an LGBTQA plus production, which is also going to be right through the month of August. And then the 10th of August, we have the Women's Own book launch in the Innovation Lounge, Icona's Journey book. And we will hear more about that. But it is also a young woman's life, and which is so of importance. And it's an animated video that's going to be shown about her life. And 17th of August, we're going to have the Legends in Harmony. And what is so important that we are honoring Diana Ferris, Aviva Pelham, Tembi Macheli-Jones, and Vicky Sampson. And amongst others, it will be Claire Phillips, Fancy Galata, and most of all, it's going to be directed by the legendary Sophia Foster. And then the 30th and the 31st of August is another iconic play, Ally, and in it star Lanky Yars, and it's about an Namakuland land reformed and also about land. And please go to our website, www.artscape.co.za, book a ticket. Come and support the Artscape Women Humanity Festival in association of Women's Zone. Be part of the change. Come and sign the pledge and come and support these productions in order for us to make a change in our society, because gender-based violence is real and it's happening on a daily basis. Let us stop the talk. Let us walk the change.
So I'll be seeing you around the theatre then?
Yes, most definitely. I will sign the pledge and definitely buy a ticket once again. Our artistic program for this year's Women's Humanity Festival therefore intentionally underscores the Step Up for Change theme. So our pledge, Step Up for Change. Please be active. Be part of it. See you later today at Artscape.
Let's turn to some music while we queue up the next guest.
Mona Lisa, Mona Lisa, men have named you. You're so like the lady with a mystic smile. Is it only 'cause you're lonely they have blamed you for that Mona Lisa strangeness in your smile? Do you smile to tempt a lover, Mona Lisa? Or is this your way to hide a broken heart? Many dreams have been brought to your doorstep. They just lie there and they die there. Are you warm? Are you real? Mona Lisa. Are just a cold and lonely, lovely work of art.
You were just listening to Nat King Cole's Mona Lisa. It was one of my dad's favorite songs of all time. It was a hit back in 1950, and I specifically chose it for that reason. The icon being honored at Artscape Theatre this year is Blanche Laguma. Now, in 1950, Blanche Laguma took up nursing at St. Monica's Home, and that was the first Cape Town institution that actually accepted colored women to study nursing. And she specialized as a midwife. So a few years later, in response to the Nursing Act of 1957, Blanche organized the demonstration of 300 nurses, and she was detained under the 90-day solitary confinement laws and then subsequently banned, and that's really where her activism days started. So a struggle icon with an interesting story, Blanche Laguma is this year's Women's Humanity Festival icon. Bonita Bennett, a heritage activist and scholar of memory, joins us to talk about her friend Blanche Laguma, who passed away last year. Hello, Bonita. Welcome to the Woman's Own Hour.
Thanks, Teresa. Thanks for the invitation to be part of this conversation.
Yes, you introduced Blanche Laguma as the icon of the Artscape Humanity Festival on 9th of August, because the two of you were friends. So I wanted to find out, how did the two of you meet?
It's very interesting. I mean, it's always felt a bit strange to call Blanche a friend, you know. She was close to 90, and I met her, I think, when she was about 80 years old. So it was like maybe 10 years or a little bit more of meeting Blanche Laguma. And the age difference I was more conscious of than she was.
Because
of my years of working at the District 6 Museum, a lot of my interaction was with the elderly of District 6, you know, the former residents who were displaced. And at the time, also both my mother and my mother-in-law were in that age category. And so I probably had a particular way, a differential way of dealing with elders. And Blanche would have none of that. She was like, no, I'm not an aunt. I'm not Mrs. Laguma. I'm just Blanche to you. And I really took me a while to get into that. You know what I mean? Because the kind of societal norms that we
have. If it's someone your mother's age, there's a way to treat them.
So we met back in about... you know, I'm so awful with dates, but I think it was 2010. And soon after her book, she'd written the book In the Dark with My Dress on Fire, talking about her life in London and Cuba and back in Cape Town. And we wanted her to come and do a reading at the District 6 Museum. I think it was on Heritage Day, if memory serves me well. And I went to meet her for the first time at her home to just chat about what questions we would ask and how the conversation would go. And I really loved the book. I mean, I can't remember who introduced me to the book, but you know, I'm always looking for women's stories, particularly South African and in that also Black South African women's stories, people who've taken the time to write about their lives and, you know, give us a little insight into another part of a world that we don't know about. And so that's how I got to know Blanche through that conversation, and really having loved a book, I was surprised to know how little I actually knew about the life of Blanche Laguma.
So now, why do you think Blanche Laguma is such an apt choice to honor as an icon at Artscape this year?
I think it's such a wonderful choice because I think sometimes as South Africans, we get caught up in the stories of our wonderful icons, but it's really the great men of history that tend to tell our story, the men that we love and that we respect. And in that, you know, the Nelson Mandela story, the Desmond Tutu story, the Walter Sisulu story, the Alex Laguma story, and those are all important. I mean, so don't misunderstand me. I don't mean that they shouldn't be told, but in between you get these women who've played an amazing role and we know so very little about them. And I think for me, that was the power of Blanche's story, because it spoke to me as a woman, as a kind of, she was a person that played such an important role, but she was no fuss about her. She didn't want the accolades and she didn't want the recognition, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't give it to her. So I think it's such a wonderful choice. And also for myself, as I think of myself as a lover of narrative and as a scholar of memory, and Blanche's story is such a lovely coming together of memory and narrative in a very accessible way.
Okay, so speaking about memory and narrative, there's actually a musical called Dance of the Legumas, and they will be reprising it today, definitely,
yes,
at Artscape. Do you know if she has got the chance to see it?
Oh, yes, 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 she did. She saw it twice. I'm going to see it again today,
okay,
at 6 right. p.m. at Artscape. And it'll be my third or fourth time. And it's such a wonderful telling of a story, both in terms of the depth of, you know, the ordinary aspects of the lives of Blanche and Alex Leguma, but also the extraordinary relationship that they had as well. No, Blanche was part of that. She was part of the research. And I think Basil and Sylvia working on the script took a lot of time to consult with her and to check out if this was okay and if she approved of that. So she was very much part of that. And I also assisted with the research, getting some materials at the Mayibuye Center. And in fact, the project was launched here at the District 6 Museum in 2018 on Alex Leguma's birthday. We wanted to do something to honor both of them. We didn't quite know what it would be, but we knew that we launched a project to honor them. And the idea of a play emerged from that launch. And of course, this wonderful performance. Now, Blanche loved it. She loved it. It was wonderful sitting with her at the opening. And she loved the way that the script was written, the way that she was depicted. She kept like exclaiming in the middle of the theater, "It was just like that. It was just like that."
Oh, that's amazing.
You know? Yeah, it was really amazing.
I will be watching it tonight as well. So the further we move away from the actual District 6 removals, and we start seeing apartheid as history rather than current life, what's your view on stage plays and fictional films rather than straight documentary to depict, you know, this is what happened, this is what life was like? Do you think it's like a useful way for people to understand, or is it actually just fictionalizing something that shouldn't be fictionalized?
You know, life is very complex, and that's what I appreciate about fiction. And also about stage plays. Life is complex, and I think it allows us to not only look at the kind of trajectory in a straight line of someone's life, about first they did this, and then they did that, and then they won that award, and all of those wonderful things, but it gives us an opportunity to understand the complexity. And so stage plays, I think, are so important, because I think, speaking for myself and for others as well, but particularly for myself, I've just realized that we've become so accustomed to interacting with screens, and so it wires your brain in a particular way. And I think stage plays are for me such a wonderful interruption of that kind of quick gratification of watching a quick clip on the phone. It forces your brain to attend in a different way.
Slow down.
I also know, sorry that I'm going on a bit long, but I wanted to just make the point that I know traditional historians don't like us to speculate. And they like us to think that history is as the books tell us. But we know that there's a lot of things between, you know, the in-between spaces.
When life happened.
Exactly, yes, when life happened. And so I am a proponent of a speculative part of history that I think helps us to enrich our understanding, because we can relate to ordinary life. And, and wonderful and great things happen around that. But ultimately, it is a personal ordinary life lived extraordinarily in terms of what one does with that life.
Okay. Thank you so much, Bonita, for joining us. That's wonderful. And I will be seeing you tonight.
Yes, that's great. Thanks, Tadisa.
Okay. You were listening to Angelique Kidjo singing Agolo, very catchy tune from 1994 that you might remember. You may even have sung along to the chorus many times and not realized what the lyrics are. So Benin-born Kidjo is singing in Yoruba, and the song actually goes, "I just saw the face of God, of love and tenderness passing my window. At this moment, don't despair. Let's think of the love that Mother Earth offers us." And there's a couple of other lines as well. But I explain that now because of a particular interest our next guest has in languages. Pippa Jones is a member of the Cape Town Interfaith Initiative, and she's a board member for CTII and a lead facilitator of the Interfaith Intercultural Youth Program for Grade 10 and Grade 11 learners. She is also a teacher, a researcher, and an activist. So hello, Pippa. Welcome to the Women's Own Hour.
Hello, Teresa, and thank you so much for having me today.
So it turns out that while we may celebrate Women's Day in South Africa, this is also a UN observance day today on the 9th of August, International Day of the World's Indigenous People. So what does that mark?
That marks a day on which the United Nations agreed that globally we should be pausing and remembering that amongst us and before us, and of course in the future, will always be people from indigenous backgrounds and indigenous tribes and indigenous peoples. And it's really important that we do make that pause and we do mark it.
So why are you so specifically interested in this day?
It's a great question, Teresa, because I arrived in Cape Town in January 2021. I came here to do my internship and to do some research for my master's degree in interfaith studies. And one of the first people that became very good and dear friend to me identifies as a Khoi Indigenous woman. And when we were talking, I think sometime in April 2021, we got onto the subject of Women's Day, and I, as a non-South African, had never heard of it. And I was very moved by the history, by the story, and by the fact that it had been established as a national day. And then I said to my friend, whose name is Zabada, "My goodness, that day is the same day as the UN World Indigenous Peoples Day." And we both looked at each other and we had an aha moment. And thus began an amazing journey that she and I and some of my interfaith colleagues have shared since then in really trying to bring these 2 days together, to blend them together in creative ways, and just to raise awareness around the fact that these 2 days coexist.
Okay. So for me, when we are talking Indigenous peoples of any kind, languages really are of particular importance. So have you got any thoughts on how South Africa deals with Indigenous languages?
I do have to say, to answer that very important question, I want to start by saying, again, as a non-South African, I have deep, deep respect for your constitution. In my opinion, it's one of the best, if not the best, in the world. And during my time here since 2021, of course, I was here when the 12th national language was added.
Sign language.
Yes, exactly. But it always inspired and deeply moved me that this Rainbow Nation was committed to not just having one language, but recognizing 11 integral foundational languages. And I've loved that. But of course, in the work that I've been doing around indigeneity, and especially researching the Khoi and the San of this area, I've realized that really the only reference that I'm aware of, sort of nationally speaking, is the Khoi San motto on the coat of arms.
Yeah.
But in terms of an active language, it's not being represented. And I think a lot of that has to do with the period that we're currently in of decolonization and restoration and reclamation.
So for this year, you are working on the concept of land acknowledgement?
Yes, land acknowledgement is something that I learned when I was living and working and studying in Australia. And what happens is that when a gathering comes, for whatever reason, for example, schools or council meetings, people pause and acknowledge the land on which that gathering is happening. And very often they also acknowledge the original custodians of that particular area. and they name the different clans and tribes that were there millennia. And so Zabada and I, here situated in the Western Cape and in Cape Town particularly, are really hoping that we might be able to raise awareness and bring a sensibility around this for South Africa and for Cape Town and for the Western Cape.
That sounds like a fascinating concept. I will definitely be talking to you about that again. Thank you for joining us, Pippa. If someone wants to find out more about the work you're doing, how can they find you?
If anybody does want to reach out to me, they can through CTII, the Cape Town Interfaith Initiative, and I will gladly talk more about the work that myself and Zabada and my other interfaith colleagues are doing around this subject.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So let's break for a song while producer Bettel Eichenberger lines up the next guest.
Go away from my door. I refuse bad news, don't want any strife. Go away from my door. I refuse to let you into my life. If you speak out of both sides of your mouth, you might as well say that you lied. If what you say to me is the truth, then why can't you look me in the eye? It's time for my life to change. I no longer am the same. I must turn the page now and look on the bright side. In life we can choose to be, in charge of our destiny. We must learn forgiveness and to swallow our pride.
Didi Bridgewater on Bad Spirits, which is also known as Bani. It's off an album called Red Earth, a Malian journey. Now, she worked with a griot called Kase Madidiabate on the song, which references the 13th century story and song. Which leads me into our next guest, who is Tobeka Yose, who is an author of the book In Silence My Heart Speaks. It's a memoir that touches on culture, gender diversity, and mental struggles. Tobeka is also a content creator and an audio storyteller. She's interested in empowering aspiring writers and publishers by facilitating dissemination of work on a global internet platform through the translation portal, Batazia. So now beyond the written word, Tobeka is also a very vocal advocate of women's rights and a staunch opponent of gender-based violence. Hello, Tobeka, and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Teresa. Thank you for having me.
So I'm
so excited to be here.
So you're launching a book at ASCAP next week. Tell me, who is the audience for this particular book?
Literally everyone, every age. I think it every member of the family, the kids, the men and women, everyone, to a point where I pray that it should be in the school curriculum, because I believe that even the young children need to learn about a lot of things from it. And the elderly need to sort of understand that they are not alone. It's a hug and acknowledgement to them that we see things that you go through, because a lot of elderly people that are in my mom's generation or even my generation are going through the most in their families, in their marriages. So basically everyone can benefit from reading this book, and I would love to have to hear what they say or think about it.
Okay, so now, when you were working on this book, did you realize anything about the taboos that surround mental health and abuse and betrayal, sexual identity? Now, is it different from culture to culture, or is just everybody trying to avoid talking about the hard things that happen to us?
First of all, writing about it was very painful because it meant I had to relive some of the things that I experienced as a child. I grew up in a very toxic and painful environment. So it forced me to go back and relive the experience. And writing about it and having conversations with people generally who have gone through the same made me realize that most of the families avoid to talk about the difficult topics or conversations. So it's taboo if there's somebody who's going through mental health, they will hide it and not talk about it or bury it under the carpet. And in the name of privacy, there's a lot of conversations that we should have, but we avoid to have. In the we say it's private, it's a family matter, and it keeps going on generation to generation, culture to culture. There are wounds that we carry because there were things that we, the questions that we wanted to ask, things that we wanted to say but couldn't because we're not given a platform. It's something that is not only done in the Black families, but all over, all the cultures go through the same. Most of my friends that I've spoken to about this will tell you that even in their families, it's the same. Friends that are not Black would go through the same. So there's something that is wrong in our society. We always want to put out a facade to cover up what is going on in our families.
And your book speaks to it's time to break that cycle.
It's time to break that cycle. It's time to show that nothing is perfect and it's okay for it not to be perfect. And people are dying inside in silence because there are things, even when people cry, we are quick to reach out to them with a tissue to say, don't cry, instead of us allowing them to feel or go through all the feelings, we are quick to rush with a tissue and shush them in a way. So I want to break that silence because I realize that it brings out broken people, wounded people, and I don't want it anymore for myself and for my family as well. And also the world. We are sad people. We are sad people. We take perfect pictures, but we are sad generation as the people, not the nation, but the whole world. So I wanted to break that silence.
Okay. Now, the previous guest that I had, we were talking about indigenous languages, and considering that website that you actually work with, which is about translating into different African languages, would you ever consider translating this book into something other than English?
I would love for it to be translated in Xhosa because I believe that there is a lot in it that can be helpful in helping the Xhosa nation to look at themselves and see the things that they are not doing well and they are not communicating well need to be communicated and need to be said. There are conversations that they are not willing to have that they should. There's a need for those conversations.
Oh, thank you so much for that fascinating insight. So if we want to know more about this book, In Silence My Heart Speaks, please come to the book launch here at ArtScape next week on 17 August. If you email info@womanzoneCT.co.za, you will get more information and you can book a seat. Thanks so much, Tabeka.
Thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed our conversation, Teresa. Thank you so much.
So now we need another musical interlude. You were listening to Paul Hanmer's Meeting of the Women off his seminal debut album Trains to Tahung from 1997. So now I'm going to talk to Pari Safali, who is the founder of Lulibo Projects, and she'll be at Artscape Theatre to launch her book Akona's Journey on 10 August. Hello, Pari. Welcome to the show.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. And you?
I'm perfect. I'm good. And thank you for inviting me to the show.
I know. I've seen you around Women's Zone quite often, and it's cool to be able to talk about Lulibo Project for a change. So now, I know you started it as a way to celebrate young women and girls, but most people, you know, have no idea what this is. So please tell us about Lulibo Project, where you're based and what the work is that you do.
So Lulibo Project started in 2015 in Nyanga, Cape Town. So the reason for the project was to celebrate young women in the township, because at the time we realized that young people in the township, they don't actually leave the township and go to other spaces and see the world and dream. So our methodology was to take young people from there and take them to different spaces, maybe go to town, go to restaurants, go to the beach, so that they can actually be able to live, identify better ways of living other than the crime, instability, and the injustice that they face in their own communities. So when we started with few girls, where we created a safe space for them. We had a library. And in those spaces, they were able to actually share their life stories and their struggles and find ways to help. And the young people that I'm actually talking about is actually, it was young girls between the ages of 12 to 19 at the time. And it was a very beautiful journey with them. So the Lulibo Project expanded because we saw the need that generally women in the township, they are not recognized, they are not celebrated. So we extended the project to also include older women. We did workshops with them. We provided a similar space. And yeah, and today we work not only in Nyanga, we work in the Eastern Cape, we work in KZN and Limpopo. So it has grown, and our focus is on young women and to tell the stories, the untold stories of young women, to create awareness on issues that they face in their everyday lives.
Okay, that explains then Akona's journey. It's a 7-part animated video series and a booklet about a young girl who's growing up in the township. And she faces difficulties, but the book is really about confronting adversity. So she is going through a lot of things that children in the townships go through. Is this book aimed at children who can then identify with her, or is it for the adults who are trying to understand what children are going through?
I believe that the Akona's book, the Akona's journey, it's a book for everyone, right? Because it highlights what parents should look out for in their kids. If the kids are not doing well, what kind of conversation we should have with their kids. And also, what is positive parenting? It also highlights the issues that young people, especially young women or girls, face in their own communities. And also highlights the importance of the justice system, the law, the importance of the realities of what happens when someone goes and reports a case and what the law does and the responsibility of the justice system. It also highlights the people that we trust, like the churches, how they sometimes, the older people in the church or our parents, how they also are able to be the perpetrators and how the community view the perpetrators. And most importantly, the book also highlights the importance of a community, organizations like Women's Zone, like Lulibo Project, why they are important in the community. Because in the book, at the end of the day, Akona is being encouraged to actually report a case based on the knowledge that she got from an organization like Lulibo Project. So this book actually speaks about a holistic approach on how to better situations in communities like Nyanga or any other township.
Now, I know there's a resource pack as well with the book, and there's a video that is online. So how do people actually find the whole package? And I've seen you talk about community organizers and activists that you want them to use this. So how do they find it and how do they use it?
So the book is divided into 7 episodes, right? So each episode with the resource pack, it has its own activity. So the idea is, if let's say a parent buys this book and the resource pack, they are able to sit at home and actually work through each episode. And that's a way of starting a conversation with their own kids. And it can be used similarly in schools or in a space that has a facilitator, like an organization or an activism space. So each episode has an activity where you engage and start dialoguing. And then how you can get access to this is you can directly WhatsApp me on 071-959-8309, or you can email me at luliboproject2015@gmail.com. And you can also find us on our socials, like on Instagram, it's luliboprojecta with an A at the end, our handle. And yeah, that's the only handles that we have. And yeah, so you can always get directly communicate with me via the 071-959-8309 number, and right. We can actually send you the book and also the link to the online
resources. Yeah,
to the online book.
The online resources as well. Mm. So that's what we've got time for right now. So thank you so much, Pari, for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much for inviting me.
And I know that there will be a launch on 10 August at 10:30 at Artscape,
yes,
for a screening of A Corner. So anybody, yes, who's interested in finding out about that just needs to email info@womanzonect.co.za to get more information and to book.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much. And I hope that people will engage with the book and they'll find it very useful. And and happy Women's Month.
To you too. And I'm sure they will. So, sorry, but that's all we've got time for. To get more information about today's guests, you can listen to the podcast of the show, which will be available on FMR's website. Thank you to our wonderful guests, and thank you to FMR, especially sound engineer Mwande Lobe, who makes us all sound really good, and the station manager Ian DeVos for being such a generous friend to Women's Zone. Bettel Eichenberger is the producer of the show, which means she's the one who puts it all together, so thank you for that. Now, Bettel and I are going to go and see what the good people of the Women's Zone Every Woman Project Knit and Natter are up to. They've got a stitch along going on here. So if you happen to find yourself at the theatre this month, go looking for Wire Woman's statue. She's going to be in the marble foyer, and she will be dressed in some of the winter warmers that the Knit and Natter members have been making. These will eventually be donated to people in need through city-based organizations who work with the victims of GBV. Also, please check out those sign-up posters for the Step Up Pledge. Make your voice be heard and step up for change. Thank you for listening to this Women's Own Hour.
spirit.